Long Exposure by Michael Bailey. The light was fading, so I had to work fast. I was alone in the old house. I knelt outside the locked wooden door and worked carefully at the loose panel. The house was silent around me. The noise I made as I eased the panel free sounded very loud, amplified by the almost empty room inside so that it echoed back at me. As I lifted the panel away, a rush of stale air blew past me, carrying a locked-up smell, and also something sharp and animal. I pushed my camera into the gap, putting one foot of the tripod through the hole so the Nikon was suspended in the plane of the door that had not been opened for more than 60 years. Click. The camera shutter closed as I took the last of three very long exposures, using a wide-angle lens to capture the scene of gloom and dusty shadows. Then the light was really gone, and it felt suddenly cold. I withdrew the tripod and camera and carefully replaced the panel. It looked slightly loose, shrunken with age as it had when I first noticed it, but there was no sign of my intrusion. Earlier in the day, Peter recounted the history of the house to me when we were looking round, choosing locations for the architectural shoot I'd come to do. He said his family had lived in the house for six generations and that his great-grandmother had died in the room. On her instructions, the door had been locked and nailed shut after her death. He said that if anyone had any idea why the old lady had stipulated this bizarre measure in her will, it had long since been forgotten. I'd been left to lock the house up as Peter was due back in town for an evening appointment. That had left me free to indulge my guilty passion for snooping and photographing long, undisturbed rooms. I was excited by the thrill of chance discovery, the drunken pleasure of prying, looking behind the curtain. It was almost sexual, like voyeurism. I'd already taken several other black and white pictures of the cellar and attic earlier in the day. I was using a long outdated roll of HP5 negative film, which might give interesting results. The pictures stolen through the door were the last three exposures on the roll, so I rewound the film. When I got home, I couldn't contain myself. Without even taking off my coat, I went straight into the dark room and pulled out a developing tank. Click! I pulled the cord to switch off the light. Now, in complete darkness, I took the cassette apart, found the end of the exposed film and pushed it into the developing spool, feeding the film so that it wound itself between the wire spirals until it was fully loaded. I put the spool into the developing tank and screwed the light tight lid on. I pulled the cord again, closing my eyes against the sudden burst of light. I made up developer's solution and warmed it. After checking the developing time for pushing the film from 400 to 1600 ASA, I poured the developer into the tank and started the timer. I agitated the spool in the tank and drained the developer away when the timer rang. Quickly, I added fixer to stop any further development. When it was done, I washed the spool and film under the cold tap. Now, for the moment of truth. Breathlessly, I pulled the wet film out of the spool, snapped a metal clip on each end, and scanned the small oblong negative frames. I had to hold the dripping of film above my head, but I couldn't wait to see those three long exposures at the end of the film. I could see the last one was fogged, but the previous two looked okay. Actually, the second one was a bit fogged as well. Old film is unpredictable. I had to dry the film and then take a contact sheet to see what the pictures were like as positive images. I hung the film up in a drying cabinet and went into the studio for a much-needed glass of wine. Click. the red safe light in the dark room let me see what I was doing as I loaded the contact maker. I cut the negatives into strips and slid them into the contact maker, then closed the glass down on the photographic paper. I exposed the negatives and paper under the enlarger. The paper went into a bath of developer, and in less than half a minute, the rows of minute photographs started to appear. When the blacks were fully rich, I transferred the paper into a bath of fixer and then into the sink to wash in cold water. I hung the wet paper on a washing line stretched across the darkroom, checked I'd closed the box of unexposed paper, and switched on the full light. I felt suddenly tired. Darkroom work can be frustratingly slow when you're anxious to see your results. My hand shook as I used a loop to magnify the images and got my first real look at the long, sealed room. In the first picture, I could make out a sturdy chair next to a low table in the middle of the room. There appeared to be a cage made of strong metal bars on the table. The second picture showed the same scene, but the centre of the frame where the cage was seemed suddenly slightly fogged. The fogging in the third frame completely obscured most of the picture, with only the extreme edges showing any detail. Intriguing. I wanted full-sized pictures now. I took the strip with these final three shots and fed it into the negative holder of the enlarger. Click. I pulled the cord and the dim red safe light replaced the brightness, making me blind for a moment. I used the focus finder to get the first image sharp, then made a test exposure of the first frame of the strip. I decided what the ideal exposure was and made a proper print of the first frame taken through the door into the sealed room. Again, I hopped round in small circles as I waited for the image to appear in the developing bath, fixed and washed it, then hung it up to dry. I moved the negative strip along one frame and made the next print. When the image appeared in the developer, I thought it looked just the same as the first one. Odd, but it's sometimes difficult to see properly in the safe light. I moved to the final negative and made the exposure. I could immediately see under the enlarger that the whole room was sharp in the picture. I developed and fixed the print and switched the light back on as soon as the last print was washing. The three prints were the same. And when I looked at the film strip, three identical negative images of the dusty room. I went back to the contact strip, but now there were three clear pictures, no sign of the fogging I'd seen earlier when I viewed the negatives and the freshly made contact strip. How odd. I got the loop and looked closely at the prints. Actually, there was a slight difference between picture one and the subsequent two. In the first, the cage on the table in the middle of the room had its metal door slightly ajar. In the other two, it was wide open. I was just wondering where the fogging in the negatives had gone when something wet and deathly cold wrapped itself tightly across my face and the light went out.